Hello and welcome to the magic of elixirs for restoring energy and hormone balance and freeing you from the bondage of fatigue. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I'm excited to be here to talk about this topic because it's a favorite of mine, but more, it's a favorite of people, everybody that I talk to. Whenever I mention that I use elixirs for energy balance and hormone balance and immune balance and thyroid, adrenal, blood sugar balancing, the ears perk up. And whenever I'm on a summit, the hosts are always, oh, I want that recipe and I want to try that. Because it's kind of, there's something about it being able to make a drink that tastes delicious, but is just less nourishing to your body and has some therapeutic effects with the addition of therapeutic herbs. People just love this topic. So I decided to do a whole presentation on it and share what I think about it. So before I begin, I want to make sure that you're aware my presentation is not intended to replace medical advice, not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship. It's strictly information and education. And you could take this and you can add it to whatever regime you already have. You can take parts of it. And I highly encourage you to customize it to your own. And if you're on medications or under the care of a physician or other health practitioner, that you have a discussion with that practitioner about what you're trying to do, because these things can have very potent therapeutic value and they can decrease the needs for certain medications. And while I can't say to you, yeah, this is going to replace some medication, it's not, but it could affect the efficacy of that medication, either potentiate it or make it less potential. So have a discussion with your doctor before you incorporate this stuff. So before we get right into the elixirs, I just want a little review of fatigue, because a lot of these elixirs address fatigue and a lot of hormone imbalances create fatigue. So I want you to have a little understanding of what the fatigue looks like, because some people say, well, I'm not fatigued. Personally, I didn't think I was fatigued 35 years ago when I was suffering, when I was in my 20s, from a variety of different conditions like headaches and stomach pain and brain fog and sinus congestion. I didn't consider fatigue one of the things I was suffering from, but I really was fatigued because it took stimulants to get me through the day. It was hard for me to get out of bed in the morning. And if I didn't have my hot black tea in the morning, I would have fallen asleep on my car drive to work. And then if I didn't have my Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi after lunch, I would have needed that nap in the afternoon. And what I found out was sometimes if I forgot to have my last black tea or Diet Coke before I left the office, on that long drive home, I was needing to pull over and go to Dunkin' Donuts and grab me some because I couldn't make it through the day. So that's fatigue. So you may be managing your fatigue by using stimulants or sugar, having sugar cravings, answering it, and then feeling better. But indeed, you could still have fatigue like I did. So it could be lack of focus and poor performance at work. You know, you're just, maybe your physical body doesn't feel fatigued, but your mind, your brain is fatigued. And then classic is you're too tired at the end of the day to go out and have fun with your friends or your family members. No desire for romance. The sex drive goes down and people go, well, what's wrong with my sex hormones? Well, the problem is your sex hormones have been depleted by some of these other hormone imbalances and your body is preferentially shunting all its raw materials to making things like cortisol to keep you alive. And then you have those couch potato evenings, which people just think is normal. Like, I am shocked at how many people just think it's normal. You have dinner, you plop on the couch, you watch TV for 3 hours and go to bed. I mean, I haven't watched TV in probably decades. So it's totally out of my realm, because it's like, well, why would you want to do that? I want to go out this, I want to do that, I want to do things, but whether it's working, reading, walking, dancing, whatever it is. So that's fatigue, and it is bondage. And the reason I say it's bondage is because it keeps you from doing the things you really want to do, right? You don't really want necessarily to have a couch potato evening, but you have no choice. a lot of things could cause you to be tired. And it can deplete your energy, but also increase the size of your waist. So lack of sufficient sleep, burned out adrenal glands, which, as you know, are those glands that support you under stress. Low thyroid function, which has gotten to be an epidemic in our society. Lots and lots of folks come in to see me, or we talk in casual conversation, and so many people are on thyroid medication. Anemia, and it is a lot of different kinds of anemia, not just the classic iron deficiency anemia that most doctors talk about, but there's anemia of B12 deficiency, folate, which is a B vitamin deficiency, vitamin C deficiency, vitamin B6 deficiency. All of these things can contribute to anemia. Anemia means low oxygen to your cells. So if your cells have a low, or your red blood cells have low oxygen carrying capacity, they can't give that oxygen and energize your cells. And so you feel tired and sluggish. It could be sluggish detoxification pathways or excessive toxin exposure. A lot of people are doing genetic testing these days, and we're discovering that they have a lot of genetic pathways that are suboptimal. You've heard of MTHFR, perhaps. It's been very big. I used to talk about that, you know, a decade ago, and then 5 years ago was profusely teaching it to my clients, and now it's like this popular new thing. It's not new, it's just that people are finding out about it. So if you have problems with that, if you have an MTHFR genetic mutation, or you have something going on with some of these other cytochrome P450 pathways, and your body can't detoxify, you're going to feel sluggish, and it could be excess toxin exposure. So even if those pathways are good, but you're exposed to too much, like you work in an industrial setting, you're using commercial products for cleaning and hair care and skin care, all of those are going to tax that system and make you feel very much fatigued. Nutrient imbalances, huge issue with nutrient imbalances, and a big cause of nutrient imbalance, actually two that are the topmost, are number one, eating the depleted foods, the fractured foods, the processed foods, the foods that have had their nutrients stripped out of them. That's number one, and that's common. And in our circle here in the communities that I work with, that we don't see that as much because people have been aware they're not eating as much processed food and sugar, still some, but the standard American diet is loaded with processed food and there's very little nutrition coming in. But the second cause of nutrient imbalances that I see in people who are eating a good whole foods diet is related to digestion, and their digestion just isn't functioning properly. Their stomach doesn't produce enough acid to be able to extract the nutrients. They're not getting enough, making enough digestive enzymes, and a whole host of other things. Maybe years of eating gluten and dairy and other food irritants and allergens and alcohol and caffeine that have damaged the gut lining, and you're not getting as much, and you need to repair it, and then the good food will help. Another thing is hidden infections. I was just researching on H. pylori because I've seen it come up over and over again, and it's a known cause of ulcers. But some of the research was saying that at least 50% of the population is estimated to have an H. pylori infection. And if it's not showing up as a stomach ulcer, it might be showing up as leaky gut, but it also might be showing up not even as much in digestive awareness or digestive ailments. It may be just slight digestive ailments, but in neurologic things like depression and anxiety and brain fog. Another one is blood sugar imbalances, and I talk about this all the time, and I'm a big fan of everybody having their own meter and knowing that blood sugar imbalance. I've recently discovered what my optimal blood sugar range is, and you're going to hear me talking more and more about that as time goes on, because I've discovered that for me, I feel at my best when my blood sugar is maintaining in the high 60s, low 70s. And some people think that's way too low, but it's amazing for me. Mental clarity, no food cravings, hunger, yes, but no, like, I've got to eat, the mad dash to eat. So we're going to hear more and more about that. And that's a big cause of being tired. Food allergies are huge. When your body's eating something and your body perceives it as an irritant, an invader. It does this, mounts this attack with the immune system. And then finally, inflammation is huge. It's the underlying cause of just about every disease we know. And anything that ends with an itis means inflammation. So these are all the underlying causes. And the reason I'm reviewing these is because when we look at these elixirs, we're putting in ingredients that can address all of these different functions. Is it going to cure it? I'm not saying that at all. Will it address it and start to restore balance? Absolutely. And I'm going to give you some charts that help you to determine the ingredients to put in your elixirs based on what you're seeing as being an issue for you. When I work with my clients privately and in our year-long group coaching program, I take them through a process of evaluation so we can look to see where the weak links are in your body. What are the habits that are underlying this, causing a weak foundation? What are the organ systems, gland systems that are out of balance? And then we can design an eating regime and an elixir based on what those needs are. And it's not a casting concrete thing. It's not like you find your best elixir and you eat it all the time. You may vary it from day to day, week to week. Women may vary it from what part of the cycle you're in. You might vary it from winter to spring to summer based on what's going on in your environment. So there's so many ways. And when you master the elixirs, you start to tune into your body to what it needs, what herbs and nutrients it most needs. And before we go into that, this is like one of my pet subjects because so many people know what to do and know about these elixirs. If they know about going gluten-free or they know about getting off of sugar and changing their diet and eating more whole foods, but they just can't seem to do it for long periods of time. And this, I believe, is the key. You have to get in touch with your big why, your big vision. Why do you want to break free from fatigue? Why do you want to get your hormones balanced? Why do you want to drop weight? Is it to be healthy? Do you want to get better? Do you want to drop weight just for the sake of dropping weight? Do you want to get fit? Is it just for the sake of getting fit? Or are there underlying deeper reasons you want to be healthy, you want to be slim, and you want to be fit? And it might be you want to go on a trip around the world. I remember a client I worked with said she just so wanted to get her energy back so she could go on this trip. Her husband and she had planned to go to the Himalayas and climb and use a Sherpa and the whole bit. But she loved photography and she had this camera equipment that was so heavy. She didn't think she could handle it. And she was dedicated. So when the choices came up between salad and chocolate cake, she would choose the salad. Right? When it was tempting to go out for pizza and beer, she would choose not to do that or to just have some sparkling water while her friends did the rest, because her big why loomed in front of her. And she knew every time she gave in to those temptations for this food that was depleting her energy, she was decreasing the likelihood of her doing it. Long story short, about a year later, she sends me a beautiful picture from the top of the mountain that she did it. It's exciting, right? Maybe you want to start a new career that you're passionate about, saving the animals, saving the earth, coaching people on nutrition, but you're just too tired to do it. So when you're sitting there with the choice of this energy-depleting food and this energy-enhancing food, or to go exercise or to watch TV, those choices are always going to be there. And when you're in touch with your big why, you're going to make the choice that's best for you in the long haul, not in the moment. One of my clients said this thing to me, and I will never forget it, and I quote it all the time. Don't exchange what you want the most for what you want in the moment. And that's what most of us do, and mainly because we're not keeping a big awareness of what we want most. And when you're constantly aware of what you want most, you even write it on an index card and carry it with you, post it on the refrigerator. Post it in your car, post it at your computer screen, post it around, and you just keep it in mind. Make a vision board, do something to keep that going. Writing your novel. I remember someone who she so wanted to write her novel, and I shared with her how this, you know, even though she was only eating gluten once a week, it was keeping her immune system and her antibodies up. And she decided to try to go without it. And what she did was found that she had all this mental clarity and she was able to write a book, and she actually did publish her book, which is exciting. What about hiking the Grand Canyon? That takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? What's your big why? What's your big why? Okay, get in touch with it, and that's going to help you to do this stuff. So when you have those difficult choices, you're going to choose what you want the most. Don't exchange what you want in the moment, which is here on the left side, with what you want most, which is this is just a visualization of your unlimited potential. So let's talk elixirs. I love elixirs because you can combine a bunch of ingredients into one portable food. You know, eating salads are great, right? But don't we get tired of sitting there after 45 minutes and you still haven't finished that salad? I'm not saying don't eat salads. We want to sit down to a meal, preferably when you can do it in a relaxed state and have that going into your body. But our days are busy. Face it, the days are busy. And if we could get this meal in a glass, this nourishment that's going to fill and satisfy and soothe and revive your energy because it's providing the nutrients and therapeutic herbs that you need to balance your hormones and to balance your digestion and to get your body working well. So the base of every elixir is some sort of liquid. That liquid could be an herbal tea, and that can be a therapeutic part, right? You could be doing Tulsi or ginseng or licorice or some sort of herbal tea, rhodiola. You can do that as your base. Or you can make a nut or seed milk, and that's especially important for people who don't have any weight to lose and want to make these a little bit more calorie dense and nutrient dense. You could make a nut or seed milk or coconut milk. You can blend some almonds with water and strain it and make a milk, or not strain it since you're going to be blending it up with everything else. Any kind of nut or seed milk, a sesame seed milk, which is loaded with calcium mainly, but any kind of nut or seed milk, a fresh juice, preferably it's a vegetable juice. I'm not a big fan at all of fruit juices because it causes sugar spikes and then crashes. 2 cups. You're going to start with a liquid base of 2 cups of something. Oh, my husband recently discovered sauerkraut juice at the store, the same company that makes this amazing sauerkraut that we buy. He found this juice and he was so excited. He's just drinking sauerkraut juice all the time. And that could make a really amazing base to an elixir if you like that flavor. So the next thing is a fat source. And we know fat's got this reputation, and it's had this reputation for a couple of decades of being bad, when in reality, bad fat is bad, okay? Good fat is good. Now, again, balance. We're not looking at having 90% of your diet be fat, unless you're doing a ketogenic diet for therapeutics, short-term, etc., or maybe long-term if you've got some issues with it. That's more of a therapeutic diet. I'm not talking that. I'm talking your day-to-day fat. You need a certain amount of fat to be able to make your membranes of your nerves and your brain, your myelin sheaths, your brain tissue itself, to make hormones. We need fat for the immune system. We need fat for lubrication, for skin, for hair, for so many things, and for inflammatory pathways. But we need the right kinds of fat. So we want a fat source in our elixir, and we may be choosing our fat source based on what some of our needs are. It could be a nut butter if we're in a hurry. You just throw some nut butter in there. That's easy. Sometimes I'll throw some coconut butter from Artisana from a jar or some of their nut butters. Preferably when you make nut butters or you buy them, they're soaked and sprouted. I don't always do that. But if you have digestive impairment, you want to be a little bit more careful. Avocado can be a really good source. It's a high source of omega-9 fatty acids. And omega-9 has actually been found to be very therapeutic for brain tissue, for the sheaths, the phospholipid sheaths that line the nervous system. But also, avocado is a good source for glutathione, which is a very potent antioxidant. So it's a supportive of the liver. Chia gel. I love chia gel. You just take chia seeds and you soak them in up to 9 times their water. And it makes a really nice gel. And you can throw gel in there. And it's loaded with omega-3 fats. It's been found to be really good for stamina and energy. And some people don't tolerate them well. People who are sensitive to FODMAPs may find that they don't. You test it. If you don't know what FODMAPs are, then don't worry about it. It's the people that know about it and are watching them that you need to know about it. We talk about that in another conversation. Soaked nuts. I like nuts when you soak them, especially the brown nuts need to be soaked. The white, like the macadamias and the cashews, not so much. They don't have as many of those enzyme inhibitors, which is why when you soak them, they get really slimy really fast, whereas the others don't. And then seeds like sesame, pumpkin, flax. We already mentioned chia, hemp, which is a good source of protein. And then coconut. Coconut's a great source of fat. And it could be coconut butter. It could be powdered coconut. I found this recently, coconut milk powder. So any of these kinds of fats are awesome to put into your elixir. And you may vary it from day to day, from how you feel, from what you're in the mood for. But also looking at the chart will show you based on what your needs are. Herbs. This is where the therapeutics come in. We start with either, several teaspoons to several tablespoons. I always caution people if you're really sensitive, like you have a lot of food sensitivities or your body's just sensitive, you can't take a lot of supplements, you have to go slow, then you go slow with these. I've had people say they just went and did, 15 different kinds of herbs and things in there, and the recipes I give you are pretty complex. Tone it down the first few times. Get your body used to it. See what your body likes. Tune into how you feel. So several teaspoons, several tablespoons, we'll go through those in a bit. Essential oils, extracts, carob, vanilla, raw cacao, essential oils, so many other things can be flavors. I use all of them. Sometimes I'll take some peppermint oil, sometimes I put cinnamon oil, anise oil, any kind that you really like. And essential oils have therapeutic value, so you can study the oils and you can really get benefit from that. I have a little book I wrote that I give my clients and people in my Energy Recharge Inner Circle that's all about the essential oils and what their therapeutic value are for each one. Extracts, what are those? Well, there's a company called Medicine Flower, and they make these flavor extracts. They're not alcohol-based. They're just pure flavor essences that they distill out of the foods. Different from the essential oils, the oil is the oil part distilled out. These are extracts. They're flavor extracts. They're not oil, and they have amazing flavor. I have them in vanilla, chocolate, hazelnut, walnut, raspberry, blueberry. They make them in a gazillion, and I got a whole bunch of them to try. And they add that, and it gives it amazing flavor without having to add a whole bunch of that food to it, because that could add a lot of calories and a lot of extra sugar if you add a lot of fruits and things like that. This gives you that ability to do, and it's just real convenient and easy, and it makes it very fun. Carob. Carob is a pod that grows on a tree and it has this little sweetness to it. And it's kind of like chocolate, but not quite. But carob goes well in there. Carob powder, just put some raw carob powder, which is very therapeutic in and of itself because it has a chemical called pinetol, which has been found to help reverse insulin resistance and help your cells pick up the sugars better from the blood and make energy better. Vanilla, and vanilla comes in so many ways. I use some of the flavor extracts of vanilla. I've used just the vanilla extract from the health food store, the organic kind, without sugar. I've used the whole vanilla beans, although they don't blend all that well. I've gotten vanilla powder. So there's a lot of ways you can use vanilla, and it has a most amazing flavor, and it's good for you too. Raw cacao. You be careful of this if you're very sensitive to caffeine or chocolate, but raw cacao is less stimulating than its cooked or roasted counterpart, but you can get that in a powdered form. You can also get it in the little nibs, or you can get it in the whole beans, or you can get it in cacao paste, which is just the whole cacao that's blended down to these little hunks. And then a sweetener. Now, sweetener, we got to clarify. I don't mean sugar. I don't mean corn syrup. I don't mean maple syrup, agave, coconut nectar, or any of those, because those all have a high glycemic effect on the body for most people. And they're claimed some of them to be low glycemic, but in reality, when I test my patients and they look at their blood sugars, they all make the sugar go up. So if you're going to use those, you use them in tiny moderation. But I use sweeteners like lohan, Chinese lohan, monk fruit is the other name for it. And that has a nice sweetness without the calories and without the sugar, without the carbohydrate. Doesn't cause any increase in blood sugars. I use stevia, and I love fresh stevia, the plant, just buying the whole plant. And we used to grow it in our yard. We haven't done a garden this year, but we were growing it in our yard. And when the kids were little, they would say, "Oh, come to my yard, friends. We grow sugar." And they'd stand there and eat the stevia because they never had sugar. That was their sugar. I told them that was like sugar. And they'd tell their friends that. I don't know if their friends bought it, but they liked it. And you could throw those into the elixirs whole, or you can get it as a green powder, and then you can also get it as an extract. Basically, it's a little stevia extract, and I like the ones from Sweet Leaf. So that's the kind of sweetener. Jerusalem artichoke powder, I've seen that. Jerusalem artichoke syrup, a little bit more processed. Yacon as a powder, Lucuma. So there's a bunch of different sweeteners that you could use. Salt or kelp. A little pinch of salt in a beverage like this goes a long way because it helps to bring out the sweeteners and the flavors. I like to always put a little bit of kelp because I keep a kelp shaker in my kitchen and I use that, and then I'll add a little salt if I need that still. And the kelp gives it a lot of minerals. So that's it for the ingredients. So what are you going to do with it? Well, if you're using the tea base, you boil the water, you allow your herbs to steep 10 minutes, or if you're using a tea bag, you allow it to steep 10 minutes or longer, get the full flavor and strength. And I'm going to add, remove the tea bag. Okay? Remove the tea bag. Somebody called me on this and said, well, wait a minute, you didn't say remove the tea bag. Okay, so I'm going to say, remove the tea bag. Take the water, strain it out if you're using the whole leaves of tea, or take the tea bag out, or whatever your liquid base is. Take the fat, take the herbs, take the flavoring sweetener and the salt, put it in the blender and blend until smooth. Like, oh my God, can it be any easier? If you're not doing the tea, it takes a lot shorter. You just use whatever. If you've already made a nut milk, or you use water. Most of the time I use water. So simple. It's simple, simple. And then you taste it and you say, well, I think I need a little bit more sweetener. I think I need a little bit more vanilla, right? Ooh, next time I'm going to use a little bit less of that herb that's bitter. And you try to figure out which one it caused it, right? Amazing stuff. And if it doesn't come out good, if it tastes a little too bitter, you can always do some flavor balancing with it. You can add a little bit of lemon or something tart. You can add a little bit of, what else could you put? A little bit more sweetener or flavor. Right? Play with it. Okay? That's why I encourage you to start with the low dose of herbs and then move your way up. What kind of herbs do you want to use? Well, here's just a short list. These are adaptogenics for the adrenals. So if you're working on the adrenals, you might want to use maca, ashwagandha, licorice, but be careful with licorice if you have a tendency to high blood pressure. Ginseng, rhodiola, schizandra, reishi, cordyceps, chaga, lemon balm, chamomile, and hops. Okay, a lot of great stuff here, a lot of great stuff. And you're going to find a favorite. I just have gravitated towards cordyceps. You know, ashwagandha sometimes really draws me, maca draws me sometimes, but the one that most consistently draws me is cordyceps. So I almost always have cordyceps in my elixir. Schizandra is nice, more for an evening or late in the day because it tends to be really relaxing. Rhodiola can be relaxing if you do larger quantities and can be stimulating if you do smaller. So you experiment with those doses and see like, oh, this is a really good one because it wakes me up in the morning. Chamomile and hops and lemon balm tend to be more things you do when you're, like if you're in an anxiety state at work, they're good calmers, or at night. And I'm not a big fan of eating right before bed. I'm a big fan of using an elixir instead of a meal at dinner because it can be really hearty. Now, one of the things I didn't say here, and I need to add this, is you can add a handful of greens to any of these. So, or a green powder. But play with it. Find one you like and then play with how much of the greens you could put, because it can get bitter, but it can just really be amazing. Makes it more like a smoothie elixir. So let's look at some other foods that you can put. We talked about coconut. And cool part about coconut is it really helps with your omega-3s. So when you eat flax or chia seed or hemp seed, they're the short chain omega-3s. And the long-chain omega-3s like EPA and DHA are the ones that are used in a lot of the body reactions, brain protection, anti-inflammatory, anticoagulant. So you've got to convert what you take in as food to those long chains. And the coconut helps that process of conversion. It actually has been said to increase it by tenfold. So whenever I'm having my omega-3s like hemp or chia porridge or anything like that, I like to add coconut to it. And it gives it a lot of great flavor, but it also helps with the fatty acid availability to my body. Low glycemic fruits you can certainly put in there. I don't put fruits in general, but you've got to test that. I recommend a blood sugar meter and testing to see how you go with it, or just see how you feel. Try it without the fruits. If you're really craving the fruit for the flavor, add a little bit of fruit there to get the flavor, but see to make sure that it keeps you as steady. Sometimes what people find is if they put fruit or some honey or something like that in it, it causes them to have an immediate high, but then a couple hours later they're low, and that same elixir that might have lasted them 4 to 6 hours before is not doing that. Love the medicinal mushrooms. Some people are sensitive to mushrooms, or they've got a candida overgrowth and think they can't take it. I kind of think that that's overstated, and you just have to find out for yourself. I've not seen people get aggravated in a candida overgrowth by taking cordyceps or maitake or any of the therapeutics. Of the medicinal mushrooms, you can get all of these in powder form, or you can get them in the whole dried mushroom, and you can actually then make a tea out of it. That's not a 15-minute tea infusion. That's more of a cook them for several hours, and that can make a wonderful base for elixirs. And you can make a whole bunch of that up, and then you can make and use that as the base for your elixir for several days. The omega-3 rich, we've mentioned those, hemp seeds, chia seeds, flax seeds, algae, probiotic and prebiotic rich foods, kefir, rejuvelac. You can put these in. You can buy some Kavita, or you can buy some kind of a kefir beverage, and you can put that in place of the water or some of the water. Rejuvelac, you know, that's something that you can't. Sauerkraut actually goes well in these, or sauerkraut juice. If you like that tangy tart, experiment with it. Coconut yogurt, seed yogurt, a cashew yogurt, any kind of yogurt that you've made that has those probiotics, they make a great base in your elixirs. But again, this is your experimental phase. Jerusalem artichoke you can get as a dried powder, and it's a great sweetener. So is chicory, same thing. You can put sea vegetables in there. If you're going to do sea vegetables other than powdered, you can soak them and then just use the water. And then you can use the sea veggie whole for some other things like salads. So if you take like a dried dulse or nori or kelp or something like that, you have the pieces. You can pour water over it, let it sit, or arame. And you'll see the water is a little blackish or reddish depending on the color of the seaweed. And you can actually put all that in a jar and save it and use it as a base for your elixirs. Sunflower lecithin actually has a nice thickness to it, and it provides phospholipids, and it's a good precursor to acetylcholine, which is an important neurotransmitter for your brain and for memory. So these are all kinds of great, great possibilities. And how do you customize it? Right? So here's a list based on adrenals, thyroid, digestion, immune system, liver detox, and bones. Right? This is awesome chart for you. Print it out, keep it in your kitchen, you know, and you may be varying it. Maybe you have several issues that you're dealing with and you want to be alternating it, or you want to take one from column A and one from column B, like the old, when we used to go to the Chinese restaurant when I was a kid, you know, they had that columns. I don't know if they still have that. I haven't seen that recently, but you'd have this meal and you could go one from column A and one from column B. So you could pick some. And if you have multiple areas, you may look for the herbs that are listed in all the different columns. So lots of things. One of the powders I like to add is broccoli sprout powder, and broccoli powder and kale powder, very mild tasting greens, but it gives you the ability to put the greens in there without it changing and bulking it up too much. So lots of possibilities. I've got warnings throughout this. If you have blood pressure issues, you've got to be careful with the licorice and don't keep doing it. Test your blood pressure if you are doing it regularly. It may be fine, and maybe you have very low blood pressure, in which case it's going to take it up. But I remember a story of a man who had very low blood pressure. And this was a story that Dr. Jonathan Wright told when I was at one of his seminars. And he said that this man was very low blood pressure. He told them that he should be drinking this licorice tea every day. And he loved this licorice tea so much, he started drinking at least 3 cups a day, if not more, of this very strong licorice tea. And one night, his wife had to take him to the emergency room because he was having these blinding headaches. He felt like he was going to pass out. And he went in, and his blood pressure was through the roof. So it can cause it to go up. I have low blood pressure in general, and I was experimenting with licorice tincture. And it just tasted so darn good. I kept taking 3 dropperfuls, and it ended up being 3 dropperfuls 3 times a day. And then noticed that I was getting pitting edema in my ankles, which is a sign of blood pressure problem. And I tested it, and my blood pressure had gone from its typical 100 over 70 to 140 over 95. That was scary. So I just warn people, it's a great herb and you need it if you have low blood pressure, but test it periodically. Buy a blood pressure cuff or go to the local pharmacy. So next, what I have is a set of recipes that I put together that are tried and true, that people have taken, that I've made, that taste delicious. You can use them as a base, but I would start like, okay, for this one, adrenal and immune support. So you make your tea, You use four Brazil nuts, supports your thyroid, your conversion of T4 to T3, because it's got a lot of selenium and a lot of other functions of selenium and antioxidant status as well. Raw organic walnuts, good omega-3 source, good for the brain. Hemp seeds, good omega-3, good protein, and coconut butter or dried coconut. So those are the food bases, right? You can do all that as long as those are foods you're used to eating and you have no problem with them. But then when you get to the herbs, I've got reishi, cordyceps, astragalus, ashwagandha, and maca. So I would say pick one to start with. Just pick one. Look at the chart. See which one calls to you the most as far as which area it supports. And just try that and start with a half a teaspoon. You like it? You can always do okay with it and maybe make half a double elixir. And then the next day, add a little bit more, blend it up again, and add a little bit of another herb. Play with them. But when you add all of these to it, you're going to support your immune system, your adrenals, as well as thyroid function. And then the rest, like the carob or cacao, you choose that based on what preference you have or whether you're sensitive to either one. And if you can't do either or don't want to do either, you can use vanilla instead. You can use lucuma instead, whatever flavor you would like to have. And then your sweetener. So see how easy this is? See how easy this is? So this is my Energize Me elixir. And this one has the organic India Tulsi licorice spice tea, which has licorice in it. So I have the warning. If you've got high blood pressure, avoid it. It's got spring dragon longevity tea. You can get that online. It's amazing tea with a combination of herbs that are meant for energy and supporting adrenals and good as an adaptogen, which means it can be very balancing. Organic India Tulsi. Tulsi is really good. It's also called holy basil. Excellent for restoring adrenals and energizing and helping you with thyroid function. But and the licorice, very, very important for the cortisol levels. If somebody is in a stage 3 adrenal fatigue, licorice works well. Again, the caution about blood pressure. And then we have our purified water. We have Brazil nuts, pumpkin seeds, good source of zinc. Zinc's really good for all kinds of things. It's good for prostate function for men. It's good for the immune system. It's good for digestive function. It's good to help you with HCL in your stomach. Coconut, and then we had chia. So this one is higher in omega-3s. It has chia instead of the hemp. And then it has your herbs, right? That's where you can do. I have Health Force Nutritionals Vanilla Maca in there. You can also use Mighty Maca from Dr. Anna Kabeka, which has a lot of other herbs in it. But again, you just test it and make sure it's going to work. This one I use Butterscotch Stevia. I've also found it from another company called Medicine Flower. Also has it doesn't have the sweet in it. So play with it. Play with it. That's the Energize Me. And this is thyroid restorative. So this has a lot of stuff for the thyroid. You'll see there's a lot of similarities, but here I put the bladderwrack in there and the kelp and the Brazil nuts and the shilajit, which is a great mineral source. All of these are good. Ashwagandha is good for thyroid and for adrenals. This one, again, has some licorice in it, so the warning. But this one is Easy Energy Harmonizing Elixir, which has a slightly different blend. And then there's the mushroom free, because some people say they're sensitive to mushrooms. So if any of these people say, what do? I'm allergic to. Just leave it out. Just leave it out. There's a lot of options, lots of ways to do this. Okay, so this one has the herbs in it, but it doesn't have all those mushrooms in it. So those are my elixirs. There's my favorites. And you got to remember, they're not magic. I mean, as much as we say they're magical, they aren't the single ticket to you getting better. You've got to do the rest of this, but they give you a good starting point. They give you a place to like, okay, I've got this thing going. Now I can work on some of the others. So avoiding the high carbohydrate breakfast, which throws your blood sugars away for the rest of the day. You know, I love to have a protein breakfast, a high green fiber rich breakfast that has good source of protein and fat. So for me, it's green smoothie with a bowl of chia porridge that has some coconut and hemp seeds and other things on it. Maybe I throw protein powder. And I should say, in any of those elixirs, if you want to throw in your favorite protein powder, if you know that you need that extra boost of protein because you're in a healing state or a detox state or you just aren't absorbing it right now, any of your favorite protein powders can be added to those bases. So think of those as ideas and play with it. Start with one, Make it easy, see what you think, play around with it, make it your own. Most people that drink these on a regular basis get results within 30 days. They'll start to feel better, more energy, their hair starts to get thicker. But you've got to do the basics too. So avoiding any food allergens you know about, stay away from the gluten and the dairy because they're food allergens for lots. I like to get people off at least for a week or two or a month or two of the high allergy foods that are most commonly found to be allergic in very many people: gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts. Avoid refined foods. That goes like forever and ever, amen. You know, that's one of those things. Just don't eat it. It's not real food. Chew your food thoroughly, otherwise it all goes down and it doesn't get properly absorbed and you don't get all the nutrition out of it. Plenty of pure water, half your body weight in fluid ounces. Eating an alkalized diet, if you don't know what that is, I have lots of presentations on it. Those people who are in my Energy Recharge Inner Circle are year-long. We have a whole module on alkalizing diet. Stick to organic as much as possible. Nobody can do 100%. Don't drive yourself crazy over it. Study the Dirty Dozen and make sure at least you look at the Dirty Dozen. It changes from year to year based on the residues of pesticide that are found in the different foods. So stay away from the ones that are in the Dirty Dozen. Eliminate the irritants that just rip apart your gut and affect your energy levels by causing swings and causing your liver to have to work harder, like caffeine, alcohol, and sugar. Exercise. You know, we always like to exercise, and not over-exercise, not under-exercise, but find the right exercise for you. Give your body an oil change, meaning get rid of the hydrogenated, processed animal and vegetable fats, and stay away from oils that are not in the refrigerator section, unless it's olive oil, because that can stand it. But any of those vegetable oils that are on the shelves at your supermarket are just poison to your body. So olive oil, as long as it's in a dark container, protected from the light, coconut oil, and change to whole food fats. I'm not a big fan of oil, but if you do the substitutions initially, you're going good. I'm not a fan of a low-fat diet, but I'm not a fan of oil either. I use a little bit of oil here and there. I use it therapeutically with people when they need it for certain reasons, and I use it with people who tend to be underweight and start to lose weight when they take away a lot of their junk foods. So we have a little good oils in there to help give them the calories without the bulk. Keep your blood sugar balanced, load up on fresh foods, and load up on vitamin C-rich foods. There's many more, but those are just a starting point. The elixirs are an addition. Think of it as a supplement. It's a great place to start because they're fun and they're easy, and I've seen dramatic changes in people. So thanks so much for being here and for sharing in this, and I'm Dr. Rita Marie, signing off.